Depression again, we get all of what you put into it, like a walk of life. If you're good enough, go out and get it, no more about it. Your mother sends you down to the shop for a pound's worth of goods, and she gives you 50 pence. You can't get the pound's worth of goods, can you? Let me find out there from the war court today. No more about it, they made all the running, that was it. Put the ball over the bar and the back of it, and that's it. No ifs, no buts. There's no sympathy in this game for anybody.
Matt O'Callaghan, Matt, look, only one place to start this week, and that was Limerick's superb win over Kilkenny. I know John Kiely will say that this team are not burdened or are not influenced by history, and that's fair enough, and it's a valid point. But this kind of victory, and not alone the victory, but the manner of the victory, can only give them confidence looking forward to Cork in a couple of weeks' time. It must give that Limerick side confidence that they can mix it with the best. They've gotten through that mental barrier of Tipperary, of Kilkenny, which has been put to bed now, and they really, really can look forward, without putting themselves under pressure. But look, it's an All Ireland semi final. There's going to be pressure there naturally. But this team are a team that seem very, very at ease with their position. And look, like I said, not just the victory, but the manner of the victory, which was most impressive.
I agree with you, Raphael. It was a very competent performance, you would have to say, last Sunday. And you're right, John was talking about this team making their own history, and that is as it is, and I suppose it is as it should be, that they are not the prisoners of what happened in the past. And certainly Sunday's, I suppose, performance against Kilkenny was just another step in the development of this group as a team. Right from the start of the year, I suppose, even comparing, when you compare with last year and this year, but from not just that, but from game to game, throughout the league, the build up right to the big game in Salt Hill, and then the couple of games in the knockout stages and the championship, notwithstanding the defeat to Clare, but there has been the graph has been basically almost all one way, and it's upward in the development and the evolution of this group of players as a team. Raphael, you're right, and we have discussed this at length on a number of occasions in the past, about this group of players seems to have no inhibitions whatsoever. And probably rightly so, because they have been through the mill at minor and under 21 level, and they have been successful, and they have been winners. And now what we're seeing is the translation of that type of strength, mental strength, ability, and absolutely huge work rate again, of course. We're seeing that being translated onto the senior stage. And I suppose it was a momentous moment last week, to end to lay that Kilkenny bogey, and of course it's a major boost to confidence, and certainly will send them to Croke Park on Sunday week full of confidence that they can even go another step, and that they can build on that performance again, and hopefully get over Cork in the semi final.
Matt, one thing as well is that this kind of performance and the way this team play, it shows the importance of maybe not, we know they've won under 21 All-Irelands, we know they've had success at minor level, but it shows the real, real critical importance of being competitive at underage level, that competitive streak in underage level, that you're tested in competitive games, in games with titles on the line, in games with, with progression out of Munster or into All-Irelands on the line, that all that kind of battle-heartedness, it adds up and it accumulates. And you saw it in the response to the Kilkenny goal on 64 minutes. You saw it, a team that last year would have had setbacks in the under 21 campaign. I remember particularly against Galway when they got hit, and they just don't panic. They regroup, they back themselves. Like we remember the rain that came down in Thurles on Sunday. It was milling down out of the heavens. When this team got the ball in the full back line, half back line, they didn't resort to long ball, whacking it down the field and praying that somebody from with a green jersey picked it up, they still had the confidence and the calmness to work the ball short, to get find guys in positions, to find guys in space. And again, that was exemplified by Tom Morrissey's score. But I suppose you can sum it up: don't panic, believe in yourselves, and keep hurling and keep to the plan. It's great to see.
I think that very last sentence you've said there actually sums it up, because if you recall that when we were speaking with the different players and the different connections of the team after the match last Sunday, without exception, they highlighted sticking to the process, irrespective of what happens. And they stuck to the process when the goal went in. You must remember, Kilkenny had been the dominant county for the last 20 years during the Cody era. And one of their trademarks is when their backs are to the wall, they come up with this, invariably it was a goal late in the game that rocked an awful lot of counties. And in most cases, the opposition didn't recover from it. Limerick seemed to take the goal in their stride. Tom Morrissey cut the puck out, put it over the bar. Peter Casey, he jinked his way in and got a marvellous point. And then what a point from Tom Morrissey to put Limerick in front. You know, it's the stuff that dreams were made of. But it is also the product of what you rightly say, being winners through the underage system and sticking to the process, sticking to the plan, high work rate, confidence, mental strength, all rolled into one.
Yeah, look, it just, having watched this side, they really, really do, like I said, they don't panic, and as well as that, they have a very, very pleasing style to watch, if you know what I mean. It's at times you'd be watching them with the ball and you'd nearly be hoping that they'd just hit it long, because you'd be so nervous that they get turned over. But I remember certain times last week, Sean Finn with his back turned to goal, or with facing out against the end line or the sideline, having to pick a ball up in those conditions and turn. And one thing, Matt, that really, really stuck out to me, and it's just a small technical analysis of Limerick, is that if you watch them take the ball into contact, they always keep the hand and the ball back, because if they take contact, if they take somebody trying to bottle them up, they have the ball behind them and they can offload. And it's just a small technical thing that I've noticed about this Limerick side. No matter how much they're bottled up, they have the skill and they have the, I suppose, that street smartness to be able to offload that ball in positions where you'd think you'd be doing well to throw the ball, never mind get a stick pass or a hand pass away. It's very, very noticeable about this Limerick side.
Yeah, absolutely correct. But we have talked about their qualities and the qualities of resilience and resolve and mental strength. But we must also acknowledge that you're dealing with a crop of exceptionally talented hurlers who have now added the other vital ingredients to their game. They're well coached, well prepared, well focused. Credit everybody in the backroom team who are doing a wonderful job. They have a talented group of hurlers and they certainly are getting it out of them.
Yeah, look, they are, and there's no doubt about that. Matt, the turning point of the game and that Morrissey score, I suppose the equaliser really was, or the immediate response to the goal where he basically claimed a puck out and put it back over the bar. There was some iconic scores in that game, but we also saw the bench, Limerick's bench, Dowling, Casey and O'Donoghue coming on and making a big difference too. And you know, these guys are all pushing. There's huge competitive competition for places in this Limerick side. And you know, if you're sitting there, on the Limerick panel, you know, you're pushing everybody around you to get that vital place and that vital starting spot on the team.
Absolutely, and John said it, like that these guys now are, you know, really gunning to try and get their places on the team. If you recall last week, we discussed the respective merits of the bench, and whereby we concluded that Limerick had greater strength and depth in on the bench. Now, all right, Richie Leahy came off the bench. And he scored 4 points, but at that stage we were deeming that Richie Leahy was going to be a starter. He was named as a starter, and for some reason, and maybe it was a mistake on the part of Kilkenny that they didn't start him. But certainly the impact of Shane Dowling and Willem O'Donoghue, and of course Peter Casey, was enormous. And we were saying last week about the largesse of riches that's on the Limerick bench. Like we spoke about Peter Casey, we spoke about three All-Stars on the bench: Shane Dowling, Seamus Hickey, Richie McCarthy. When have Limerick been in that kind of a position, in that kind of a strong position? The rest of the subs all well endowed with All Ireland medals at either underage or at club level. It's a strong bench, and John Kiely has emphasised, and you've heard him emphasising it, time out of mind, he's saying about the 20 man game. And by God, is he and his backroom team using the bench judiciously right through the campaign, without exception, in any game. At any time that they have sprung players from the bench, they have got the desired response. And, you know, that is a tribute to the 20 men, of course. Notion, the whole idea of it being 20 men, but it's a reflection, I suppose, on the togetherness of the panel. And above all, it's down to very, very, very astute management, in my view.
It certainly is, Matt. Matt, as well as that, we should also mention that, you know, had Limerick taken a third of their goal-scoring chances, and I marked them down at six clear goal-scoring chances, had they been, you know, it's easy criticising hindsight, but you'd look back to some of them and said, had they shot a bit lower into the ground, considering the conditions, you know, you some analysts saying that a lot of the saves were at the perfect height for the goalkeeper. Now, I don't believe there's a perfect height for a goalkeeper. I still think it's an amazing feat to be able to pull those saves off. But if you look at it clinically and you look at it coldly, had Limerick put away a third or a half of those goal-scoring chances, they could have been comfortable for that second half. And I suppose that's a testament to Owen Murphy in the Kilkenny goal as well.
We've got to acknowledge it. We've got to acknowledge it, Raphael, right from the outset, that on Sunday we saw one of the great goalkeeping displays. His goalkeeping was absolutely first class. And I don't buy into the thing that there's anything such as an ideal height for a goalkeeper. Like when Aaron Gillan got through there and booted the ball, you know, a booted ball can go anywhere. You know, and the way he deflected it over, the way he deflected over from Aaron Gillan in the second half, he deflected over from Garrod Hegarty. But there was one incident in the game, and I'll take you back to it. Seamus Flanagan broke down along the left. He made an attempt, and he looked to have plenty space and plenty time to pick out Aaron Gillan, who was free in the right corner in an advanced position. And Murphy read it to perfection, and he came out with a brilliant interception. This guy is a fantastic goalkeeper, and he certainly has brought goalkeeping to a new level. And all right, yeah, maybe we should have got one or two of them. Ideally, if we got one or two of them, we'd have, you know, we wouldn't have been living on our nerves as we were towards the finish. But certainly, as things transpired, it might be all for the better in that Limerick had again an opportunity to dig out a close game, to claw back victory from the jaws of defeat. And certainly, Limerick will have learned. They will have learned from the way that they responded, and they will have they will have gained enormous confidence from the way that they responded to the Kilkenny goal. And but you're right. Had Limerick put away a couple of the chances, Raphael, certainly it would have in an ideal world it would have been more comfortable. But look, it's still a good news story anyway. And I certainly give hats off, full marks, full credit to Owen Murphy. I thought it was a great goalkeeping display. But mind you, this guy has been turning this on for the last 1 or 2 or 3 years. It isn't as if it was something we didn't know, that Kilkenny have an exceptional goalkeeper.
Matt, I know you have close connections with Cork, and I'm not going to ask you to cause any family rifts or rows, and I know you'll have to be diplomatic, and I know that this might even affect your green mist somewhat, but how much are you looking forward to the semi-final, and how do you, it's a long way out, I say it's a long way, it's a while out, but, you know, this is an All-Ireland semi-final. I know people are saying to keep the hype under control, and we understand that, but if you can't get excited about an All-Ireland semi-final and where this team is, then, geez, you'll never get excited. And it's a huge game. I, for one, can't wait for it.
No, I can't wait for it. And look, if it's what we saw in Park Ecclesfield in early June, roll on part two very, very, very quickly. The hurling philosophy in Cork and Limerick, in many ways, are very, very familiar. And I think this has the ingredients to be an absolute classic semi-final. And let's just hope that the green mist will prevail and that Limerick will be coming out on top. I know we'll be talking about it in greater detail next week, but I'm really looking forward to it and just cannot wait for it, because the colour and the excitement, the red and white and the green and white in invading Dublin, like Croke Park will be a cauldron on the day, like huge bragging rights at stake along the border up in our area and right into Charleville and back into Ballygran and down into Drumcolour. But certainly I am looking forward to a really, really classic semi-final.
And of course, we'll be previewing that anyway, Matt. There'll be no end of discussion and topic and debate there. But I suppose from here out at this point, you know, Cork pose a huge challenge for Limerick. We saw that in the first game, but again, with that first game, there was a lot of kind of variables that made it hard enough to call. You're looking at that first game, obviously it was a draw at the end, but you're thinking, you know, a Cork team that were playing their third week in a row, a Limerick side that were down to 14 after 25 minutes, a Limerick side that got, I think, had built a 2 or 3 point lead towards the end, only to see Cork come back, take the lead, and then Limerick come back again. So very, very, very hard to call how this one would pan out, isn't it? And like I said, those variables, it'll be different state situation in Croke Park. I suppose the only thing you'll say is that Cork have taken the direct route. Limerick have had Carlow and have had Kilkenny. So Limerick have had that chance to maybe just to keep it ticking over a bit more than Cork have had. So again, they're very hard to call.
It's very hard to call, and they will have the benefit of the game against Carlow and against Kilkenny, you're right, whilst Cork have been basically idle for 4 weeks. And another factor to feed into it, of course, we lost to Glenhennan after 5 minutes the day in Cork, which was crucial, and we stood that and sending off late in the first half. And of course, I suppose we were probably lucky that at the very end, when Sean Finn made that brilliant block down, was it on Seamus Hannity, which had looked to have winner all over written on it. And this is going to be a fantastic game. It's going to be a fantastic occasion. And certainly, you know, monster rivals, it's going to be the culmination of what you'd have to say was a very, very good year. A very, very good year for Munster Hurling. A lot of the excitement was back with the new system. And at the end of the day, let's hope that Limerick just get across the line.
I know, and I noticed you said that rather sheepishly, Matt, so we'll move on from there. And we'll move on to just a quick look at Clare and Wexford. Again, the fact that there's four Munster teams in the semi-finals and Galway, Matt, are we seeing, I suppose, a more a seriously competitive Munster championship has really shown that there is a small bit of a gap between the Munster and Connacht championships, and that, you know, that the teams that have been involved in those white hot battles in Munster, they've benefited from it now. And look, you look at some of the teams in Leinster, awfully were poor this year. Dublin, despite being competitive, were ultimately poor. The Munster Championship has really kind of stood out as the showpiece of the summer, you know, and Clare's victory over a Wexford side who didn't really show up.
Yeah, I suppose the perception out there was that the Munster, and rightly so, I would say that the Munster Championship was a better championship than the Leinster Championship, that the Munster Championship was more competitive. There is no question about that. But there were certain elements of doubt going into the knockout phase and the business end of the competition. Would the exertions of the Munster Championship, it was so competitive over four games in a condensed period of time, would it take its toll on the teams going forward? That doesn't seem to have come to pass, because you're right, Limerick have beaten Kilkenny, as we have discussed, and now Clare have, you would have to say, kind of rather comfortably, surprisingly comfortably, beat Wexford in the other quarter final. What was a disappointing game, and I think it was a disappointing sense of occasion down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh last Sunday, in that there were only just 10,000 people in for, you know, what on the face of it and what on paper was a very, very attractive hurling match.
Yeah, it certainly was. And look, we saw the calls that there should have been, that the two games should have been a double header. And when you look at a combined attendance of 28,000, then maybe that would have been the right call for Thurles on Sunday.
It would have been the right call when you consider the 35,000 were in Páirc Uí Chaoimh for a round of the Munster Championship between Cork and Limerick. 45,000 were at the Munster final in Thurles. I honestly thought, from a geographical point of view and from a logistical point of view, that a double header, this was tailor made for a double header in Thurles. You see, there's a perception out there that it's very difficult to get to Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and that you have to walk and get buses and all that sort of thing, which, you know, it's a magnificent stadium, no doubt at all about that, absolutely state of the art. But that perception is out there, and I suppose there's a certain element of truth, and that might have mitigated against the attendance, and maybe the timing at 3 o'clock or whatever it was on a Saturday may not have been ideal either. But you would have to say, like, that from all points of view, and dare I mention the word financial point of view, but that is as it is. But a doubleheader on Thurles last Sunday would have appeared to be the logistical way to go about it. But look, all this thing, like the Super 8s and the new hurling format, it's in its infancy at the moment. It's fledgling. And obviously there's no doubt that the administrators will be sitting down when it's all over, taking a long, hard look, and hopefully coming up with certain tweaks here and there. I think there are tweaks that people can see, that everybody can see, that will be absolutely necessary, that will make both competitions, the hurling competition, even better. Football is a different issue at the moment, but the competitions and the structures will be tweaked, and certainly a lot of the teething problems that were there this year, I'm sure, will be addressed and countermeasures taken against them.
Matt, those of us who got in a little bit early for the senior match would have seen the Galway Miners put Kilkenny to the sword, a 7-point margin of victory. It means that Limerick need to win against Kilkenny at the weekend. A draw is no good due to the scoring difference. Matt, Galway were impressive again, and, you know, I suppose Antoine Power, if you had offered him after that Galway defeat that he would just have to, not just, but he would, a win over Kilkenny would see him through to a semi-final, I'm sure he probably would have taken it, considering the disappointment there. But Limerick's attention now will have to turn towards beating Kilkenny.
It has, and I suppose in many ways Antrim will be pleased that the issue now is clear cut. It's win or bust for Limerick at this stage. Win and you're through to an All Ireland semi final, probably against Dublin, I think, and lose and you're out. You don't contemplate losing, but whatever way it goes, it's Limerick Minors' seventh game this year, and they won three in the Munster series, and they're going into the game now on the back of two defeats. But so are Kilkenny. Kilkenny were beaten in the Leinster final in a high scoring game, 6-19 to 7-12. They scored 7-12 in the Leinster final and lost it. And now they're after suffering a defeat to Kilkenny. And I think if you take the respective scores, or the scoring difference, Galway beat Limerick, I think, by 10, beat Kilkenny by 7. And I have seen both games now. And my honest opinion is that there is absolutely nothing between Limerick and Kilkenny, and that this is a game that could certainly go either way. Now Kilkenny had they had a good Leinster Championship, not a county lady loving them, including Dublin, who they beat comfortably in the first round, but since the Leinster final and that kind of a minor shock defeat to Dublin, It has been downhill for them. So like they're not coming in with any advantage in terms of a victory against Limerick. They're both coming in with the same, losing the provincial finals and both losing to Galway, and both losing to Galway by the same amount, and roughly around the same amount. And looking at it and having seen the two games, as I said, there would appear to be very, very little in it. This is going to be a nail-biting game on Saturday evening in Tullamore. I would be hoping that Limerick can recapture the type of form that saw them win three out of four games in Munster. Now, since then, they have been competitive in the Munster final, and I suppose the winning margin for Tipperary was a bit harsh on Limerick, and certainly a 10 points defeat to Galway was definitely harsh, because you will recall that in the first quarter of that game, Raphael, Limerick had two absolutely clear goal chances which they spurned. And then immediately after halftime, there was a 10-minute period after halftime when Limerick got a couple of great points chances, and they shot four wides and failed to make an impact on the halftime deficit. Now, if this type of conversion rate and finishing, and I'm sure Anton Power acknowledged it in his post-match interview that day, and I have no doubt in the intervening period in the last fortnight, he would be have been addressing that in his backroom team and coaches. And if they can tidy up on that, I certainly think that they're in with a right good chance.
Matt, the Camogie side, a Camogie Championship that never really got going for Limerick, and we saw their exit confirmed last weekend. Just didn't get going this season. Simple as that.
It didn't get going. It was a season that promised a lot, I suppose. We've talked about this before. They beat Kilkenny in the league in Kilkenny. It was a landmark victory. It has been basically downhill since then. They struggled to get a draw against Waterford in the final round in Ballygran. I suppose, look, we've talked from the start of this about this particular Camogie group. In that we thought that Kilkenny and Galway were on a different level, and that there was a mini competition between Waterford, Clare and Limerick for the second quarter final place, and that is exactly how it has transpired. And the initiative now seems to have turned very, very much in favour of Waterford. Now, Limerick probably put up their most sustained and their best 60-odd minutes last Sunday and or last Saturday, and it was just unfortunate that it didn't have the desired result, because Clare completely capitulated to Kilkenny in Ballyragget. Like, it ended something like 4-13 to 2 points, and it had changed the whole dynamic of the scoring difference and everything, where Clare had an advantage going into the final round last weekend. But it's a disappointing end to the year for Limerick, a year that probably promised a bit, had a decent, got to the league semi-final for a fourth year in a row, had a decent semi-final down against Cork, and then sort of lost the Munster Championship to Tipperary in the semi-final, and had a very, very bright first half against Kilkenny when everything looked to be going swanningly well. They had prepared very well for the Championship. It's been a disappointing outcome, you would have to say, for Limerick Camogie. Just, I suppose, on a brighter note, last weekend, while the seniors were going down heartbreakingly narrowly to Waterford, the juniors opened their Premier Junior All-Ireland bid with a win over Offaly in Bruff. Now, Limerick are in a four-county group with Offaly, Kerry, and Clare, with the top two qualifying for the All-Ireland semi-final. And I suppose they certainly have given themselves a real chance of making the final four in the All-Ireland series following that win over Offaly. Now, they travel to Abidorney, I think, on Saturday evening to play Kerry at 5 o'clock in the second round. A Kerry team who would probably be regarded as probably the strongest team in the group, but Limerick going down there with a win under their belt, who knows? Kerry were handsome winners over Clare last weekend, so Limerick, you know, if they pick a win either next Saturday or in the game against Clare, they will be through to an All-Ireland semi-final, and that will be an opportunity to salvage something from the season.
Yeah, it certainly will. Matt, turning to football, and of course we have, I suppose, a reduced fixture list for the Limerick Senior and Junior Intermediate Football Championships this weekend. But just looking in particular at the Senior Championships, we will see games this weekend. And a lot of the clubs that have dual players won't be playing this weekend, but we have three standout fixtures. There's Thursday night's game between Adair and Mona Lean in Clarina. That's this evening. Thursday night. Then you've Ballylanders and Drumbroadford in Kilmallock at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. And Sunday sees Ballysteen and Newcastle West in the Bog Garden. So despite the absence of some games, there's some real tasty games up for decision.
There are three tasty games up for decision, and you would have to say, looking at the configuration of the respective group tables at the moment, that you could have two of the six knockout places almost decided by Sunday evening, because Newcastle West, in their group, they sit top of the pile at the moment with 4 points, and were they to beat Ballysteen, although they have in the past found Ballysteen a fine tough nut to crack, they would move on to six, and you would have to say that it would need a complete collapse altogether if were they not to make the knockout stages after that. And they are in a similar position, and they're playing Mona Lean. Now, that is a top of the table clashing, that Adair sit on top on 4 points, the county champions, and Mona Lean, their immediate predecessors, are just 1 point behind on three. So were Adair to win that game, they would move to six, and you would have to really, really, really fancy them to come out of the group. Now, there's a very interesting game in Kilmallock between Drumbroadford and Ballylanders. Now, these two teams, Drumcondra Broadford have 2 points, and Ballylandis have won. They've been great rivals. They have been fighting it out for honours more than in recent years, rather than being where they are at the moment. But absolutely, a win is absolutely crucial. Crucial for both. It's crucial for Drum Bradford to stay on course for yet another qualification for the knockout stages. And it's crucial for Ballylanders to avoid being sucked into a relegation dogfight, because they're down there at the bottom of the table with 1 point, the same as Napiershick and the same as St. Sennans. And Ballylanders have only to go back to 2016 when they had a flirtation with relegation, when they only beat Palace Green in the relegation playoff to preserve their status. So that should be a very, very interesting game. Three important games. It's a pity that the rounds are becoming fragmented now, and that can throw up all sorts of consequences down the line in terms that people, we have clubs with points in the bag, and we have clubs with games in hand. But look, I suppose it's brought about by happy circumstances, Limerick's progression to the All Ireland hurling semi final. But three interesting games, nevertheless. Three games that will go somewhere towards defining who may be in the final six at the end of the series.
Matt, the 2018 Super 8s got off last weekend, and not a very great start. You could say that they really failed to spark, didn't they?
I think they failed to ignite. We talked about tweaking the hurling championship. They certainly will have to be tweaking the football championship, and not just the Super 8s, but possibly the tweaking will have to go further than that. We had this whole thing of Donegal, of course, and Dublin, and what was home venue and what was neutral venue, and all that sort of stuff. But I seem to remember that the package, when it was put to the clubs, put to the counties at the start of the year, it was based clearly on a home fixture, an away fixture, and a game in Croke Park. It didn't specify a neutral venue. I'm sure that's going to be changed after this, because of the what Donegal have brought to light about the inequity of it, Dublin having two home games. And I suppose you'd have to say that Donegal are correct on that. But on the field, the competition, it just didn't take off. Now there's all this sort of thing, like that the World Cup was on Sunday evening and all that, but certainly Galway and Kerry was a hugely attractive game. Probably fans voted with their feet in that game. Like, you had Kildare and Monaghan on before it, like, and a total of 30,000 came in for what on paper were two attractive games. Now, they may not have turned out that way, but certainly they'll have to be some looking done at it again. Maybe why should the provincial finalists be pitted against each other in the first round? Maybe they will look at it from that angle. I could see where they were coming from in the way that it was structured, and that the two teams coming through the qualifiers should meet, and at least some of them would get off to a winning start, or maybe a draw or whatever. But that if you had the two provincial winners beating the two from the qualifiers, it would probably have, you know, it could be very predictable, as one might say. But certainly it certainly needs some tweaking. And now the upshot of the whole lot is that there are some very, very interesting games this weekend, a very, very interesting second round. But this second round, this weekend, may throw up the dreadful vista if the results go in a certain way, where the GAA could be confronted with dead rubbers in the last round, which is the last thing anyone wants.
It certainly is, Matt. And you know, we know that Kerry are basically going up to face a do or die game next weekend up in Clonus. You know, Kildare will Between Galway and Newbridge, it could be the end. It could be the end for Kildare. It could be also the end for Kerry after this weekend.
It certainly could, Raphael. Where goes their meeting in Killarney in the third round then?
Yeah, and I mean you have Tyrone and Dublin. That should be competitive at least in Healy Park. But you'd fancy Dublin to come out there. Roscommon and Donegal will need to bounce back. They could be in serious trouble too. So the Super 8s, even though you see it as a group structure and you think, oh, there's a bit of leeway in a group structure, when you look at it in the cold light of day, there really isn't a hell of a lot of wriggle room or room for error, is there?
There's none.
And Matt, the Kerry decision, Kieran Donaghy, not to take the field the last day, bizarre?
I thought it was bizarre. I just didn't know. Now I only saw part of the game, but I thought Kerry were very, very flat, very un-Kerry-like. But we spoke about this last week, and when you asked me my predictions, it was the one that I hesitated on, and I reluctantly gave Kerry a vote, and I'll tell you why, and I'll repeat it again, that when Tyrone, the manner in which Tyrone dismissed Cork, it didn't raise questions for me about Cork, but it raised questions for me about Kerry. Were Kerry as good as we thought they were? Or were they as far down the road in the development of this new-look team as we thought they were? And I think to a certain degree, we got the answer. We got the answer last Sunday. Now, we also made the point last Sunday that last weekend in this podcast, and I'll say it again, Raphael, Galway were promoted last year. They got to the league final this year, and they won the Connacht final. They gave a very good performance against Dublin in the league final. All that was not happening by accident. That was happening because Kevin Walsh is building a strong Galway team. A very strong Galway team, who, let's face it, are contenders for All Ireland honours.
Yeah, they certainly are, Matt. Matt, I suppose we saw during the week as well the announcement of this review panel for Limerick football. Matt, we all know that paper doesn't refuse ink, and that reviews and you know studies and all these things can all sound great, but you know bluntly, what do they really need to do, or what should be the goal of it?
They need a root and branch. They need a root and branch review of everything that's happening to football in the county. But first of all, they need the first thing they need to do is look at the structure of the committee that's been named. I think, because really are all the stakeholders represented. I would like to have seen a greater input into that committee, and there's nothing preventing them from expanding that committee. There's nothing preventing them from going out there and looking for submissions. But I would like to have seen greater input from the main stakeholders in this, the clubs, and B, there's a hardcore of dedicated football men out there. That are dedicated to football and would have a lot to contribute to a committee such as this, and I think that this committee should be expanded and these people should be brought on board, and that there are people now that are doing a lot of good work with underage and trying to get the thing. I'm talking about people like Paran and Shawnee Buckley, Stephen Davin, Dipton Bruder, these guys that have been to the fore in the promotion of the game, Martin Horgan there with Newcastle West, who could take a certain detached view of being a Kerryman and being involved with the county teams and all that sort of thing. I think that committee should be expanded to be more representative of what I would regard as the stakeholders. All right, there are good people on that committee. There's no doubt at all about it. That the committee, I'm sure, will diligently and forensically go about their work, but I think there needs to be greater input from a greater cross-section of what let's call the Gaelic football community in the county.
there certainly does, Matt. A hell of a lot to go through this week. And look, we look forward to next week's bumper edition, where we'll be looking ahead to the All-Ireland semi-final.
We wish, hopefully two semi-finals that the minors win.